Welcome to The Dental Brief, the world's direct, right-to-the-point podcast produced to get you the information you need to learn and grow your practice. To learn more about our guests and find links to information discussed on our show, visit our website, dentalbrief.com. On to today's episode.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of The Dental Brief. Today, I'm so excited to have our guest with us, a registered dental assistant who's doing amazing things. Say hello, Janet Simpson.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for having me, Patrick.
Yeah, grateful to have you here. It's going to be a fun conversation. Let's kind of start with a question we asked everybody. Tell me, Janet, how did you get involved in dentistry?
Well, lo, those many years ago, I was actually working as a preschool teacher. And I did that right out of high school. And after 7 years of working with toddlers, it was time for me to find another job, as you might understand. And I was living with a friend who was a dental assistant, and her doctor was looking for somebody that he could train to help them in the office. And so I interviewed for the job. He liked my personality and thought I was teachable. And so I took the job not knowing a scintilla about dentistry. I didn't know the difference between an explorer or a periprobe. I didn't know how to take x-rays, how to take an impression, how to transfer instruments. And Dr. Chan and Laura taught me everything I know. To this day, I look back and I'm just so thankful, because Laura was trained in a traditional community college setting, and she was just so generous with her information. She didn't hold back. She didn't see me as competition or any sort of a threat to her, you know, position as lead assistant in the office. She just gave information full-heartedly, and I just, you know, really appreciate that. It's not always that way.
Sure.
Then as an unlicensed dental assistant, you need to get certifications. And so when I took my x-ray certification, that the owner of that company liked me and offered me a job as an associate teacher. And so I started to teach dental radiography on the side and other courses in dentistry. And then at a certain point, I realized that I was undereducated and I wanted to pursue my education. And so I needed a job that would allow me to go to school. And so I attempt a lot, and I realized that not every dental office is as wonderful as Dr. Chan's office was. We worked our rears off, and we took him from a brand new dentist into a nice thriving practice. But when you go around to a variety of dental offices, especially as a temp, you learn a lot, you see a lot, and it just makes you grateful for the good things in life.
Yeah. So now I know that you, throughout this journey, now I know a big part of your passion, right, and what you're doing is helping dentists. Helping assistants, helping the entire team nationally. Kind of tell us a little bit about what you're doing now, which is Dental Fundamentals is your company, right? And the website, let me get that out there for our audience, is dentalxraycoach.com. Tell me some of the problems that you're helping people solve with your company now.
Okay. So taking dental x-rays would be really easy if everyone had a big wide mouth and gorgeous straight teeth and no gag reflex. But the truth of the matter is that most people, or a good percentage of people, have crowded arches, malposed and rotated teeth, pushy tongues, touchy gag reflexes. And in taking quality dental x-rays is challenging. Then you add to that the wired digital sensor is it has its own little bit of problems that it adds to the equation. It's smaller than film. It's harder and bulkier and more uncomfortable for our patients. We have to use a slippery plastic barrier that can spin around, and it's dark. It's black or dark blue. So all of those things add up to taking an already difficult task of taking dental x-rays and making it even more difficult. So I love uncovering the mysteries of taking dental x-rays and passing that information along to the people who need to take them.
Yeah, so I know you do hands-on, one-on-one, you do see these types of things, and I'm sure it's a lot easier to show people than it is to talk about techniques on a podcast. But are there a couple of techniques that you can talk about right now, that a couple of things that people can do today in their office to make this a little bit of an easier process for them and for the patient?
Yeah, I think I can do that without pictures. It's challenging, though. Sure. The first thing I would say, that taking dental x-rays comes down to three things: patient cooperation and managing your patient. So taking a good look around and in the mouth and seeing what you're going to deal with. Do you have edentulous, partially edentulous patients? And then also gaining the cooperation, because so many people, like I was taking an x-ray yesterday on a woman, and she balled her tongue up really tight and she tightened her cheeks. And so you're trying to place the sensor and you can't even, you know, I mean, it was just comical. You have to engage them and get their cooperation. So that's a number one. Two is sensor placement. So knowing what is expected of you for each of the images. So, you know, you can go to my web, to my YouTube channel, and you can find a video on how to take x-rays. And I can give you a link to that if you'd like, yeah. Patrick.
100%, please do, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then the third thing is PID angulation. And that actually comes down to something called shadow casting. And if you would just take a flashlight and take a couple coffee mugs, maybe two or three coffee mugs, and set them beside each other and put like a notebook behind the coffee mugs, and then shine your flashlight through the coffee mugs onto the notebook, you would be able to play around with projecting the image of the coffee mugs onto the notebook, which I would call the image receptor. Okay. And you can see that you can adjust your projection angle just a little bit to create an entirely different image. So I would encourage people to do that. Just have fun with shadow casting.
And so let me ask this question. You talked about compliance. And when I first heard you say the word compliance, I was thinking, you know, you were talking about like physical compliance, right? Complying with instructions that you're giving them. But how to help out with, what advice can you give them? Let me back up just a little bit. Mm-hmm. One thing that I hear dentists talk about a lot, and I hear assistants talk about it, is patients refusing to get x-rays, right? Mm-hmm. They want to pull off or whatever unrational fear that they have, or maybe it's rational to them, but to I think a lot of dentists, it's unrational. Any tips that you can help with that? Any magic words or any magic wands that you can wave over someone to have them go, oh yeah, I want to do those x-rays?
Yeah, well, you know, I think the first thing is to be well-informed. And so many dental professionals are not well-informed about ionizing radiation. They falsely claim, oh, it's completely safe. Dental x-rays can never hurt you. And that's false. No one can make that promise. And so I actually asked that question in a course. We were just having a discussion after the course. And I said, how do you explain to your patients the necessity for dental x-rays? And one hygienist said to me that she compares it to bananas. And I tried to keep a straight face, but I'm like, what are you talking about? And she said, well, bananas are radioactive and you get a certain amount of radiation from eating bananas, and taking dental x-rays is similar. And I was like, if you could cite your source, I would really appreciate that. And she sent me her information from some international radiation agency, and they equated smoking a pack of cigarettes, the background radiation from living in Denver, this, you know, the Mile High City, all these different types of radiation, from a microwave to the cell phone to the different waves that we're exposed to. And the truth of the matter is, you know, people will say, well, radiation is similar to walking outside at the bay for, you know, 10 minutes. And so I thought to myself, yeah, I need to test this theory. So I took dental film and I put a quarter on it and I set it in the sun for 24 hours. And then I took another film and I set it next to some bananas with a quarter on it to do a radiation test. And I took another film with a quarter on it and I put it in my brother-in-law's, who's a pilot for Delta. I put it in his cap. And so he flew from Australia, to and from Australia and back. And then I developed all those films. And there was no radiation from bananas, and there was no radiation from 24 hours outside exposed to natural radiation, but there was radiation from the flight. And so equating it intelligently to what is true, we don't ever want to sound like idiots and say, well, pardon my language, we don't ever want to sound uninformed and equate radiation to bananas. The other thing is, I have seen x-rays taken, and 9 months later, another x-ray was taken, and they were able to see a cancer, oral cancer. Within a 9 month period of time, sure, the same exact area was imaged. And so explaining to the patients that what we're able to see is so much more important than any risk that dental x-rays have posed to them.
Sure. The risk of missing diagnosis is certainly greater than the risk that you're going to get from the x-rays.
Exactly. Like, yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense to me. So let's real quickly, I know you're involved in a nonprofit. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about that. Tell me about what you're doing there and how you're giving back through CuraSmiles.org.
Yeah, so I am so grateful that I work at a free dental clinic in the heart of what we call, the neighborhood is called City Heights of San Diego. And we see people who otherwise don't have access to care. You would not believe the x-rays that I'm taking on a daily basis of these people. Just, you know, broken teeth, broken off at the roots, people who haven't been to a dentist in literally 20 years. I saw a 50-year-old man who's an immigrant from Somalia who'd never been to a dentist in his life, and his teenage son. And I was able to explain, you don't have to have this as your future, and educate them on dental dentistry. So it's my privilege to coordinate. I screen the patients, and then when a person says that they're willing to volunteer for us, I plug them in, and then I just give them, you know, a variety of patients in their schedule, and we have been doing wonderful things. We've produced at least $85,000 worth of dentistry in last year, which was basically our first year up and running. So we're new and we're kicking butt. It's a lot of fun.
That's great. Yeah, I would highlight. I'll let you kind of elaborate on this, but I think everybody should give back to the communities that have been so helpful to them as individuals. What do you think clinically, what are some of the benefits that someone could get from volunteering at a nonprofit that maybe they may not see in the day-to-day average dental office?
Well, here's something that has been working out at our clinic. There was a group of dental hygienists who are graduating from their program, and they are volunteering now once a month at the clinic as a team. So they graduate, they went to school 2 years together, and rather than just splinter off and never see each other again, they renew their friendship on a monthly basis. They go to breakfast and then they come volunteer. And so I'm trying to create friendship pods around volunteering so that you not only have that amazing feeling of volunteering and giving back, but you build your friendships around something that's meaningful. Sure. And something that is, you know, just going to, I anticipate that these ladies are going to be, you know, volunteering together for decades, because they play their music loud, they sit and talk over the patient and just, you know, they make those patients feel wonderful, but they also are building into themselves. So yeah. It's a good.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. I want to encourage our audience to check out your website. It's dentalxraycoach.com. Check out, go ahead. Yeah.
If you don't mind, Patrick, I did want to say one thing. As an unlicensed dental assistant, well, first of all, I didn't remain unlicensed, and I did, you know, go on to get my degree, my vocational education degree. but I have a real heart for the unlicensed dental assistant. Could you give me just a second to clear my throat?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. So thank you. I have a real heart for the unlicensed dental assistant. And something that people don't know is that in the state of California, there was a survey done 4 years ago, and there were 48,000 registered dental assistants. And guess how many unlicensed dental assistants there were in California 4 years ago?
Let me try to take a stab at
50,000. I just told you the answer.
Yeah. I was going to guess. 50,000. I was going to guess more than that, but yeah, that's significant.
And the thing is, as speaking as somebody who came from that, it was always honestly something I didn't admit to, because it puts you down at the bottom of the totem pole in the dental office. You don't want anybody to know that, but I want everyone to know if you're an unlicensed dental assistant, you are not alone. And then I wanted to read to you, if you're okay with this, and you can dice it out if you want to, Patrick, but this is something that a person wrote online that I thought was really important. She said, "Hi, I just started a job and I have been an assistant for 6 months elsewhere. I have mostly assisted chairside and I've taken x-rays before, but at this new office where I am, I take x-rays all the time, all caps. Since I'm a rookie, the older assistants don't take new patients and I do the FMX, which is fine, but I have difficulties a lot of times. I don't know why. I have problems with patients gagging. I have problems with anterior teeth also. I feel like a hot mess. Like in 5 patients, 2 gag for sure. And then I always need help from the other assistants. Sometimes I offer the smaller sensor, but I can't do that all the time due to not getting some structures in the x-rays. How can I make patients more comfortable and make my coworkers not give me strange looks? I don't want to lose my job, but I'm really struggling. Please, no bashing. Thank you." And just her referring to the strange looks and to the bashing just really broke my heart. And I just, the courses that I offer on my website are fundamental for a reason. Because I want people to have access to that information so that they don't have to look at those, maybe the mean girls in the dental office. They don't have to look to them for training. They can find the training from somebody who's really on their side. And that would be my, it just explains my heart a little bit. I had somebody reach out and he couldn't mount bite wing x-rays and he was going to be cut from his program. Because he couldn't mount bite wing x-rays. He didn't know how. And I thought to myself, are you kidding? Your teacher can't teach you how to mount bite wings? You're not the person that should be cut from the program. The instructor should be. If there's just a lot of bullying that goes on out there, a lot of put downs. And my deep desire is to put up, to build up, to give people the skills and the knowledge that they need so that they can have the satisfaction of a job well done.
Yeah, that's great philosophy. Janet, thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it. And I want to encourage one more time our audience to check out your website. Janet, thank you.
Thank you, Patrick. It was fun.
Thank you for joining us on today's episode. Did you know you can weigh in on today's topic on Facebook? Search The Dental Brief on Facebook or visit our website, dentalbrief.com, and just follow the link. We look forward to having you join us again on another episode of The Dental Brief.